From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska, this is The Side Vibe, brought to you by DogWorks Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and DogWorks Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Side Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood sides on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Listening to the Side Vibe radio show, and calling in from the Hudson Valley of New York is our own Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hi, it's going very well, Robert. Thank you. Excited about this being the new first show of our new format, and we'll explain more off-air and on our websites what that means. But very briefly, there's going to be an app out, and this will be part of that.
It will. So I am at a race this morning, and I know you have a couple of guests, and we do have a crunched format now, so I'm going to let you jump right into it, okay?
Okay, Robert, good luck at the race. And today we're chatting with Lorraine Healy and Danielle Lahmeyer of Husky House Siberian Husky and Fellow Canine Rescue of New Jersey. Husky House is dedicated to helping abandoned Siberian Huskies as well as all breeds of dogs, including mixes in the tri-state area. Husky House is also dedicated to furthering the public's education concerning the issues of proper pet care and the importance of spaying and neutering all dogs and cats alike. Lorraine Healy is the president and founder of Husky House, and she started Husky House when she was 27 years old. Currently, she is the proud parent of six Husky House rescues, and they are Whiskey, Brutus, Misa, Cece, Lainey, and Rosie. After having volunteered at a Husky rescue in Massachusetts for about a year, she went online to see if there was a rescue group in the state where she could volunteer. And she says, "I got my first computer about the same time and went on the internet where I found the National Rescue site. I read all about it and wanted to participate." Discovering that there was no Husky rescue, she started her own. At first, Husky House was only a Husky rescue. After several years, they expanded to rescuing all breeds and went on nationwide. In the past 2 years, Lorraine says they have gone international. Husky House focuses on rescuing special needs dogs that other rescues may turn away from, and Lorraine says they had a, quote, a soft spot for neurological epileptic cases, with two of her previous rescued Huskies being epileptic. Lorraine says Husky House always has at least one neurological case in the program. Currently, they have three. Lorraine says, and I quote her, she is very grateful for all those who support us in our mission. Our other guest is Danielle Lahmeyer, and she's a graphic designer and Husky parent, and she was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and moved 2.5 years ago to Walk Hill, New York, with her husband, Eric. She says from a young age, she has always loved dogs, especially the working breeds. She says she was very happy to find an amazing rescue that not only rescued Siberian Huskies, but other breeds as well. Danielle has been a volunteer with Husky House for 5 years now, managing and coordinating their website, designing print and web promotional materials such as flyers, posters, ads, and their logos. She volunteers at events and helps screen applications for potential adopters. As a volunteer, she said it is very rewarding to see the dogs go into their forever homes. Danielle says she feels very fortunate to have become a loving forever home for one of these dogs. Fox is their amazing 3.5-year-old Husky boy who was adopted from Husky House in 2013. He and Odin, her 4-year-old Husky boy, she says, are her silly, playful snuggle bugs. She also has a 9-year-old Australian Kelpie named Missy, who she says is her playful, energetic, independent girl. She says, "I love them so much. They make me smile every day with their crazy antics, personality, tail wags, and loving smiles." Danielle says she highly recommends others to volunteer at Husky House. She says, "By doing so," and I quote, "it will fill the heart with happiness to know you are helping to enrich these dogs' lives." Hi, Lorraine and Danielle, and welcome to the Side Vibe.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. First, I want to say I got a chance to actually meet Danielle and your family this past August. in New Paltz, New York, at the Parish Restaurant, where they had a book signing. I had a book signing and a meet and greet where the real Buddy the Christmas Husky, who is the star of my book of the same name, was our special guest, and he traveled all the way to Georgia just to join us. And Danielle, it was fantastic that you and your family came up from Jersey to meet us, so that was a real pleasure.
It was wonderful to meet you guys as well.
Now, I'm going to start with Lorraine. How wonderful that Husky House is now international. And in terms of the dogs you help, what does this mean?
Well, we were contacted by some Americans that were over in Qatar, right outside of Iraq, about Huskies. And they pretty much run the show. And basically all we have to do is pick the dogs up at the airport. So we, for the last 2 years, have been pulling Huskies from all over the world, not only in Qatar, but Iran and Chile and Korea. We even had one from China a few months ago.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, you had expanded Husky Rescue to all breeds a few years back. What was the catalyst for this decision?
We had a lot of people that were contacting us that wanted to volunteer and join the program but weren't necessarily prepared or capable of handling a Husky. And actually, Brutus was the first non-Husky, my Brutus, that ever came into the Husky House program, and that was 17 years ago. So for many years, it was a bunch of Huskies and a little Great Dane Shepherd mix running around that kind of stuck out like a sore thumb.
Now, does Husky House have an actual location, or do you work on foster home basis, or both?
Both. For the last 4 years, we've had a facility in Matawan, New Jersey. So we have 48 kennels here, and we also have foster homes throughout the tri-state area.
Great. Now, as many of our listeners and followers of the Five Sides know, canine epilepsy is a very important cause for me and my Gibson, having been diagnosed after his third birthday. And he lived with canine epilepsy for 7 years. I think it is absolutely phenomenal that you take the special needs dogs in, including those with neurological issues such as seizures. Can you briefly tell us about these types of dogs and give some positive words of advice to families who may overlook a dog with seizures when they're going to adopt or who may even be contemplating adopting one?
Epileptic Huskies have a special place in my heart. There are some cases that we've had that have been extremely difficult, but the majority of the Huskies that we take in, and all, we've had many neuro other breeds as well, are pretty much controlled with low-cost medication, and they pretty much are just like everybody else. It's just making sure that they stay on their medication schedule and just monitoring them. And like I said, there are a few special cases that are a little bit more severe. But for the most part, it's just like any other dog. They just happen to take meds 2 or 3 times a day.
Right. That's what Gibson had to do, too. And I have to say, most of my readers and listeners know that I did lose Gibson this past December, but it was not to epilepsy. He passed from cancer, and he lived the last 7 years of his life seizure-free, managed by medications. And I just want to do a pull-out of a statement that you said about the medications being very important, and that is so important, isn't it, that they really stick and adhere to a really good schedule for that medication.
It is. It's very important that, you know, you're on a 12-hour schedule or you're on an 8-hour schedule. We work very closely with our neurologist up in Yonkers, New York, with all of our neuro cases. And, medication is very important. And, you know, sometimes these epileptic dogs don't even have to take meds. So you really don't know until you actually try. But I have to tell you that our Epi guys are the best dogs ever. And, you know, when I get over 150 to 200 emails a day requesting that we take dogs into our program. And if there's an Epi in any of those emails, that's the first dog that I pull.
It doesn't matter
where he is. So
that's really a good point to know. So it does not matter. It doesn't even have to be just in the tri-state area?
No, it doesn't have to be in the tri-state area. Our last epileptic Husky that we pulled was out of Kansas. So they really do have a special place in my heart. So I don't think I've ever said no to an email that came through for a Neuro-Siberian.
Oh, that's just wonderful. I love you guys. I mean, that's just terrific. And I know next month is our big Live Gib Strong Epilepsy Awareness Month. And if we have any questions or folks that maybe have questions, would it be okay if I refer them to you so that you can talk to them about it as well? I like to kind of, you know, network and connect everybody to give as much information on EpiDogs as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can also put them in touch with our neurologist who's he's out of Yonkers, who is phenomenal. I mean, we had an epi, my personal epi, that we did a vagal nerve stimulator, which is primarily used in children. And, you know, it worked very well for Stoli. And so he's really, you know, cutting edge, and he really thinks out of the box to get these neuro guys under control and to have them live, you know, long, happy lives.
Oh, that's wonderful, and that's what it's all about. Now, I want to talk about your foster program. Can either of you gals tell us how important is this and how both the dog and the people benefit from a foster situation?
Danielle, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. Our foster program is extremely important. It not only benefits the family, but it benefits the dog. It puts them more, it acclimates them more to a home situation. It also opens up a kennel in the facility so we can pull another dog in need. It's extremely beneficial to have foster families.
Now, Snow Dog Lodge is a part of Husky House, and that offers services such as boarding and pet care. But the really unique thing about Snow Dog Lodge is that, as the motto says, every stay saves a stray. Can you tell us a little about that and, just include any kind of, you know, additional perks or information? I know you have some pertaining to that.
Sure. That Snow Dog Lodge is the name of our facility. And although we're primarily housing Husky House dogs, we do a little bit of daycare and boarding to try and generate revenue to keep us going and pay our vet bills. All Husky House dogs get discounts if they have to board here. We have a 24-hour service to any of our adoptables, so God forbid if someone has an emergency, a pipes break, somebody has to be rushed to the hospital at 3 a.m., God forbid a fire, whatever the emergency may be, they can call us at 3 a.m. and drop their dogs off.
Wonderful. And that contact information is on your website as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, if you're just tuning in, this is the Side Vibe on Dog Works Radio, and we're talking with Lorraine Healy and Daniel Lawmeyer of Husky House Siberian Husky and Fellow Canine Rescue in New Jersey. You can check out their beautiful adopted dogs, the adoption process, info on fostering, upcoming Husky House events, and more, including the Snow Dog Lodge. And you can check that all out at their website, and that's at www.huskyhouse.org. You can also check out Husky House on their community Facebook page of the same name. Links to these sites are also going to be listed on today's show's website listing. That's over at dogworksradio.com/the-vibe. And we'll be coming up soon with more information. I'm going to feature this show and Husky House over on my blog at 5sides.blogspot.com, so keep an eye on that. And I usually will put links to that over on our Facebook page, which is 5sides Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews Facebook page. Now, Husky House has many volunteer positions, and I know they're open, ranging from helping out at the Snow Dog Lodge to adoption counseling, marketing, grants, helping with events, transporting, even administrative. Danielle, you mentioned that volunteering really fills one's heart with love. What is it that you enjoy the most about being part of the Husky House family?
What I have to say I enjoy most about being part of the Husky House family is it's just wonderful to work as a team with other volunteers who really share your passion, you know, all towards the same goal of finding the dogs, their loving forever homes. It's really just amazing to be part of that.
That's wonderful. Now, currently, we're all, of course, keeping our eye on Hurricane Matthew and the storm as it, you know, heads up the East Coast. And I know in many areas in the path are taking evacuation precautions. And we hope everyone really stays safe. Can you offer any tips to folks with pets for hurricane and disaster preparedness?
Yeah, absolutely. Most importantly, of course, keep your pet ID'd. Make sure that your pets are wearing collars and identification tags that are all up to date. If they're microchipped, make sure the chip's information is current. Keep your pet indoors by all means. If you're going to stay home and try to wait out the storm, make sure you do it safely. Best to identify a safe area of your home where everyone can stay together. You know, if you can designate a room as a safe room, that's fantastic. Always recommended that you put together a disaster kit to keep in your home. You know, make sure you have medical supplies, food, water, any medications that your pets are taking or may need. You know, put the supplies in that room in advance or in an easy accessible area. Always have leashes, crates, carriers at the ready. And, you know, most importantly, if you are in a situation where you are going to need to evacuate, it's always best in advance to find a safe place to stay ahead of time. Family, friends, you know, research a safe place out of town. The one thing that you should never assume is that you will be allowed to bring your pet to an emergency shelter. And if an evacuation is necessary, you should absolutely never leave your pets behind.
Excellent, excellent advice. And now Husky House has three fundraising events coming up soon. Tats for Tails on October 15th and Dog Night Out on October 23rd and the 2016 Fall Tricky Tray, which that totally caught my attention, on November 5th. Can you tell us a little about each of those and how folks can participate?
Absolutely. Tats for Tail is going to be this upcoming Saturday, October 15th, in Edison, New Jersey. It's at the Rorschach Gallery, and they are generously donating 50% of all proceeds to Husky House. It is a tattoo, you know, it's a tattoo facility, so they're going to be offering animal special tattoos. We'll have raffles, a 50-50, and so much more, and it's all going to benefit our adoptables.
The Fall Tricky Tray
is also an absolutely amazing event that will be held this Saturday, November 5th. It's at Jacques Exclusive Caterer and Reception Center. That's in Middletown, New Jersey. It's a beautiful facility. That is really a wonderful evening. We're going to have three levels of prizes, a super 50-50. It's a sit-down dinner with desserts. It's a really wonderful event, and all the proceeds benefit our adoptables.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I have to ask, how'd they come up with the name Tricky Tray? As I was doing my research, I'm going, okay, I'm going to figure this out, and I didn't.
Well, I think Lorraine will best answer that one.
Okay.
Tricky Trays have been around for years. Sometimes they're called Chinese auctions, and although it's a lot of work putting together hundreds and hundreds of baskets and soliciting all of those prizes, it is an incredible fundraiser. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. Last year we raised $29,000, and it's a good time. There are great prizes to win. It's an awesome dinner, and it's just fun. You know,
it sounds like it.
It's a really, really good time, and, you know, it's very exciting, and, I mean, there are iPads to win and computers and trips to Disney and all kinds of really cool stuff that you can win, and, again, everything is donated, so all of the proceeds go directly to our dogs.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, are you still taking donations in case any of our listeners wanted to donate items or anything like that?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to hold a spring tricky tray as well in April. So as soon as our fall tricky tray is complete, we go right to work on the spring tricky tray.
Wonderful. And what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you if they'd like to donate an item?
They can contact us right on our Facebook page.
Okay, terrific. And I also wanted to just ask if you guys could briefly touch on your adoption policy in case there are folks out there who maybe have never adopted before. Could you briefly take us through, what would they do first and you know, from first to, checking out the dogs to actually adopting one?
Our adoption policy is pretty tough. We have strict policies, some strict rules. And we don't budge. And we, you know, husky puppies are only placed in husky experienced homes. And, you know, that's upsetting for a lot of people. But, you know, when puppies come into the program, they've already been surrendered or abandoned once by an inexperienced home. And that's not to say that these are bad people. It's just, you know, when you see this cute little blue-eyed husky puppy sitting in a pet store window, you bring them home and you live in an apartment and maybe you're not that active. And, you know, he's a handful. You know, Siberians are not for everybody. So our policies, although they're very strict, they're the strictest for our huskies. And as other breeds come into the program, it's maybe not as difficult and we don't have as many rules for adopting those dogs. But huskies, they can be tough. So, you know, it's hard if you have cats at home, but a lot of huskies that come in are not cat friendly. And, you know, it's a process. And, you know, we have a reputation for being tough. And it's not easy to get a dog from us because we want to make sure that they're placed appropriately and we don't want to see them back. I mean, God forbid, if something doesn't work out, we always take our dogs back, even if it's 10 years down the road. But we want to do right by them and make sure that they're placed appropriately. So the process starts with an application. Then we do a small phone interview. Your references are checked. We require a vet check. And then after all of that passes, we do a home visit. Again, the home visit is a little bit tougher for huskies, making sure that the fence is secure and tall enough. And after they pass the home visit, then we set up meet and greets where they can come out and they can meet the potential dogs that are suitable for their home.
That's excellent. And, you know, with the holidays around the corner, I know we all see this upsurge in folks giving and getting pets for gifts. And I think it's super important that they're educated, especially, you know, on any breed dog. They should always do their homework. But huskies are a very unique breed to have, and you do have to have experience. And I just like to remind everybody, before you decide to do that, please talk to the experts, you know, at Husky House, talk to another Husky rescue, and just get all the information you can possibly get and, you know, find out and talk to these people so that you can make the best decision so that this dog has a forever home. Now, I'd like to just end today's session with, speaking of the holidays and they're not being far off, is there anything or thing special on the Husky House wish list?
We're always in need of cleaning supplies, bleach, paper towels, where the big things that we go through a lot of is canned chicken, pill pockets, the little things that add up and we go through very, very quickly. So those are the key items that we need on a regular basis.
And there's a wish list over on your website as well, is that right?
Yes.
And I also wanted to just ask with people wanting to adopt a husky, are there specific points that people should know about the Siberian Husky breed to be aware of, you know, so that they can make the right choices?
They are escape artists, making sure you have secure fencing, never leaving them outside unattended, never taking them off leash, being extremely diligent and cautious with small animals until you really know the dog and if he is small animal friendly. With little kids, being very careful with that front door, little kids coming in and out, and a Siberian, you know, will take advantage of that situation and bolt out the door. So it's a lot about just learning learning how to live with a naughty pants.
Very true. I have four, and they can be very naughty. I'm actually recuperating one of mine right now because suddenly my boy Wolf, and I hadn't even written about this yet over on our site, but all of a sudden he started acting very strange, very lethargic, the head held down. He wasn't interested in eating. And if you touched him anywhere, he seemed to be hurting. So, you know, of course, the first thing you think of, I thought of was Lyme, but they've been vaccinated. They get their topicals, but I always know nothing's 100%. And the other night, I actually had to have my vet come to the house and check him out. And turns out he has soft tissue injury on his mid back mid-back from where the ribs connect to the spine and also up in the shoulder area, resulting from rough husky play. So, you know, it was the strangest thing, and I was really concerned, but I wanted to rule out anything medical. So he's been on rest and some medication, and he is improving. But they can become quite the wrestlers, can't they?
Absolutely. I went through something actually similar with my Odin about 2 weeks ago. Of course, I had called Lorraine, you know, immediately. They were rough housing, and we took him to the vet, and he had pulled his paw just because my guys like to do the leg sweep.
Yes, absolutely. I love them. They're fantastic. They keep me on my toes. They make me laugh. They're wonderful dogs. But, you know, sometimes from an outsider looking in, they see that husky play, they can get frightened. Sometimes in dog parks, people think that they're actually fighting, but they can get quite rough. But if you're actually watching them, they're actually very good about it. I just think Wolf kind of got it from both ends, from two of them at the same time. Aww. When they were starting to get the fall friskies, as I like to call them. It's been so great talking to both of you, and we are, you know, in closing, we have about 2 minutes left, and I just wonder if there's anything else that you would like any of our listeners to know about Husky House, Huskies, your rescue, or anything at all. Excuse me.
Just basically, if anybody is looking for a husky, that, you know, we ask that you stay away from the pet stores and either go to a rescue or jump onto the Siberian Husky Club of America website and find a reputable breeder rather than purchasing a dog online or going into a pet shop. And, you know, spay and neuter, and let's try and keep the population of these guys down. I mean, this year has been horrible with the amount of Siberians that have been in the shelters across the country. It's sad.
Oh, it is. It's actually at epidemic proportions. Excuse me. This is what happens when you don't have enough coffee in the morning. and that's a good point to bring up. And I just wonder if you could briefly touch on additional ways that we can maybe help keep these huskies out of coming back to shelters.
Again, just making sure they're placed properly and that people know what they're getting themselves into, and that they understand the needs of a Siberian. And, you know, when you get a young Sib at home, making sure that they're exercised properly, you know, two walks a day is not going to be sufficient for a one-year-old husky. And they do, I mean, you have a pack, you know, they do well in multiples. And usually, you know, those are the types of homes that we look for. Somebody that has a Sib or two and they add a second or a third dog to their home, because that's where they thrive and that's where they do the best and they get enough exercise and they don't get themselves in as much trouble. You know, a bored Siberian can be trouble.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And a lot of people always ask, why do you have five? How come you have five dogs? And they're actually, five was better than when we had just the one Harley, because these dogs really could keep up to her speed. They have their own play. And then when they rest and they chill out, they love being together. So excellent information, ladies. I thank you so much for being on the show today. And I look forward to seeing or speaking with you guys again.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
For the rest of our listeners, thank you for joining the Sib Vibe. Join us next month in November when we highlight canine epilepsy awareness. Thank you and have a great day.